of you are familiar with the idea of first aid. Many of you have been trained in it. Many of you have lots of years of experience with it. You understand that first aid, the point of it is to provide initial treatment for some type of injury. If you have maybe a cut, you want to get some type of treatment to that cut. You want to clean it up. You want to put a bandage on it, something like that, to take care of it, to protect it. If it's a more serious injury, maybe requiring CPR or something like that, you want to provide first aid. You want to try to resolve anything you can to try to keep that person alive or stop bleeding or whatever the case may be until they can get more effective medical care. But the whole idea is to keep things from getting worse or resolving it right there. And we also understand that lack of proper first aid can lead to terrible things. You get infections, obviously, more serious conditions can result in death. So you understand that concept. Well, there's another concept within critical incident stress management. That's something that just came along not too long ago, actually. When I first was in the military, nobody heard of it. They started discussing it. Some people started getting ideas about it. It really wasn't implemented that much. Then all the years in law enforcement, really wasn't thought about that much. It wasn't worldwide. It definitely wasn't nationwide. But it's something that's coming up. In the last several years, we've started to look at the fact that police officers are under a great deal of stress. Police officers experience things all the time. Sometimes what we consider critical incidents, it could be a shooting, it could be a fatal accident, it could be showing up at a crime scene where someone else has suffered a terrible death, anything like that that would affect us emotionally. And what they've realized is police officers are absorbing all that. On a day-to-day basis, you're absorbing it, you're sucking it up, you're having to go on. Because you can't go home. You go to that crime scene, you go to that fatal accident, you go to some type of other horrible scene, you can't go home after that. Your day might have just been started. So what critical incident stress management has done over the years is they've gotten together, they've figured out a lot of different ways to kind of debrief police officers, to sit down and talk with others, and try to just get that stress out a little bit. It's not even what you'd consider counseling so much, it's just an option of venting, letting them get it out. And talk about it. And it's amazing then, because then once they can get it out, once they can clear out those, of course, in my field they call it the demons, once you can clear those demons out, then you can go on. You can be effective, show up for work the next day, and continue on. What has been coined, though, is emotional first aid. Now, emotional first aid, a lot like first aid, comes down to treating something right off the bat. Treating it so it doesn't get worse. If you can think of a car, if you take a car and take it out here in a parking lot, buy a brand new car, take it out here in a parking lot and just park it. Let it sit for the next 10 years. Don't move it. Well, over 10 years, you can imagine what would happen to that car. The tires would go flat. Of course, birds would probably make nests in it and everything else. The sun would damage it, the snow, the salt, everything would damage that car, would eat away at it. Whereas you take the same car, bought on the same day, and you show some care for it, wax it once in a while, clean it, take care of all the mechanical functioning, air in the tires, drive it around to keep things working well, 10 years from now, they're going to be two totally different cars, as you can imagine. Well, when it comes down to emotional first aid and the critical incident stress management, what we try to think about is those officers being like the car. If you take them out there and you just continue to pile stuff on them every day and every day, don't give them a chance to get rid of it, they're going to be like that car that sat out in the parking lot. After 10 years or maybe even less, but definitely by then, they're going to be worn out. They're going to be basically useless. But if you care for them, you give them a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of TLC once in a while, they can keep working for you. Take a cut. If you get a cut, I touched on it earlier, but we do this with police officers all the time. We're talking about critical incidents. If you get a cut and you know it was nasty, you know, you brush by something in a warehouse or something like that, cuts through your pants, cuts into your leg, you know it, there's definitely germs all over it. Well, if you ignore that and just go on your day, well, by the next day, it's probably going to be pretty nasty. The day after that, who knows, you might not even be alive, depending on the level of infection. But you're definitely going to be looking at some serious things because it wasn't treated. Whereas just taking a few minutes to take care of it right then, right there, clean it up, you'll be able to move on. One of the guys I work with says this quite a bit. When we have our rough days, he and I share a lot of the same mindset. When we have our rough days, he says, days like this wear on your soul. And he is right, because there's some days where it feels like that. What we figured out is the lack of proper emotional first aid can have horrible, horrible lasting consequences among police officers. So, taking those two theories, first aid, emotional first aid, let's move on to what I actually want to talk about tonight. It's called spiritual first aid. I don't know if anybody has that copyrighted, but I'm using it tonight. Spiritual first aid. And maybe I'm the only one here that feels overwhelmed once in a while. I don't know. If I am, I'm sorry, I'm going to bore you for the next 15 minutes. But if I'm not, maybe you can relate a little bit. You know, some days it feels a little overwhelming to be a Christian. At least to me. Now, why is that? Isn't Christianity supposed to be easy? Well, let's look at some facts. The fact is, somebody who is trying to walk as a Christian is going to face struggles against their own human design. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Abraham Maslow. He came up with a theory called the hierarchy of needs. All of you teachers, anybody in psychology, you've heard of that. Maslow, back in 1943, wrote his first paper, and then he elaborated on it later, and even today, the wording's been changed a little bit, and some people have tweaked it, but it still stands as a very popular theory of human nature. And as you can see, there's a chart. Dave, can you bring up the chart? That chart there might be a little hard to read from back where you are, but it's broken up into five different categories. Down at the bottom there is your physiological needs. And what Maslow felt, and has been proven to be true, is that every human being functions based on those five needs, based on even the size of those needs. That's why it's a pyramid. Most important, according to him, and what seems to be apparent in human nature, most important to all of us are our physiological needs. Breathing, eating, sleeping, things like that. Those are the basic needs that we have. Those are the first things we're going to seek out in our lives. And if we can't get those taken care of, we're not going to be able to do anything else. Next on the ladder is security. And they're not talking about just physical security. They're talking about a sense of security in your job, a sense of financial security, a sense of security in relationships, things like that. And then we go on to social needs, which is just the need to be around other people, the desire to feel part of a group. Talk about self-esteem. That's kind of self-explanatory. It's how you look at yourself, how you feel about yourself. And then it ends with self-actualization up there at the top. That's the one that is more of what you want to be, what your goals in life will be, things like that, where you'd like to see yourself. Now, kind of ironically, that's true. That pyramid is found to be true generally with human nature. But you know, as Christians, we kind of flip it over. I asked earlier, why do we feel overwhelmed? But we're taking that pyramid there that has been proven to be human nature, and we're flipping it over. Because you know, when it comes down to it, Christians take the self-actualization at the top. We don't gain our identity through our own desires. We gain our identity through God. We see ourselves as children, and our purpose is determined by the direction that God tells us it should be. The next one, self-esteem. We're told to be humble. So, you know, how we feel about ourselves isn't always the most important thing. At least it's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be humble, thinking of others higher than ourselves. We're supposed to be determining our value based on how God values us. They're in the social category. We're taught to be around people, sure. In fact, we're commanded to share time with each other. But it's not for the same reasons that a lot of other human beings are. We're supposed to be around people for the sake of being focused on our purpose together. A purpose of spreading God's word. We're supposed to be encouraging other believers and maybe even distancing ourselves from other people because they could be a stumbling block in our lives. Moving on to the security. We're taught to have no fear. We're not supposed to worry about the fear of financial security so much. We're not supposed to be worrying about our physical security so much because we're supposed to be trusting in God to protect us in a lot of ways. We don't focus much concern on our physical beings. In fact, we're even supposed to be willing to sacrifice ourselves and our own security to further God's work. And then finally, the physiological one, the one that's the biggest in human nature, we as Christians are supposed to be satisfied with what we have. Now, of course, we still need air, still need food, but it's not supposed to be something beyond that. The stuff that the normal human beings feel that they need in their lives for their physiological needs, we're not supposed to worry about that because God tells us not to. We know that God will take care of us, and we're supposed to be focused on that. Another reason Christianity can be a little stressful. Christians will set high expectations for themselves. And why do we do that? Well, Ephesians 5, 1 verse 2, verses 1 through 2, is an example. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Trying to be Christ-like is easy to say, but it's impossible to actually achieve, and it's very difficult in our lives on a day-to-day basis to be focused on that, because it's challenging. We have to make decisions every day focused on keeping God in the forefront of our lives, and that can be taxing. That can wear on you. We cannot hide from it. As Christians, we cannot take a break from it. We don't get a day off. You know, there's so many other commitments in life, whether it be parenting, marriage, athletics, things like that, that you might be able to get a little bit of a break from once in a while. Well, Christianity, we don't get that break. We can't afford to. So it can wear on you. We must constantly think about the direction our lives are going in and the example we're being to others. Another reason Christians will not be accepted by the world. If we take a look at John 15, verses 18 through 20. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. The world is filled with evil. We see that. We live in it. There's a lack of belief in God everywhere we look. And most people in the world really don't want us pointing it out. That there's a lack of God. But we see it, and we're not going to be accepted by them. Another reason, Christians face the toxic nature of sin all around us every day. You know, in Romans 1, 28 through 30, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We see that. We recognize sin all around us because we are not numb to it. We see that the world is leaning more towards evil than God. We're sensitive to it, I guess is the best way to put it. We have to be. Because if we're not paying attention and if we're not sensitive to it, it can affect us. It can affect our families. It can affect our loved ones. We watch lives around us in pain because of sin. Through sympathy and empathy, we're sometimes even involved in it. Especially if it's family members or friends that we're watching suffer because of sin. So that takes a toll. The elders here, I guarantee, it takes a toll on them. The responsibility of shepherding over this flock, the responsibility of caring for everyone here and and being concerned about the sin in our lives and the struggles we have, that takes a toll on them. And it takes a toll on every one of us as we experience it. Depending on your personality, you might even feel guilt over somebody else's sin because of your inability to stop them or your inability to help them. Another reason, Christians will feel accountable for their own sins. We take it seriously. In Hebrews 10, verses 25 through 27, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. We know the consequences. We feel guilt, might even feel inadequate some days, because we might feel like we're losing the struggle. We may truly struggle with challenges of sin in our lives because we understand the consequences that are going to come after that. Not just today, but tomorrow, years down the road, and in eternity. We have an understanding of how sin will interfere with our relationship with God. And it puts a weight on us, a weight of responsibility. One final reason that I have, and we could go many, many more, but one final reason I have why Christianity can be difficult sometimes and why it can wear on us sometimes is because Christians will work through relationships, through various relationships. And that, you're thinking, Dave, well, yeah, how is that stressful? Well, is it always easy to get along with each other? Matthew 5, verses 38 through 40. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you in the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. We can also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 through 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And all have been made to drink into one Spirit. There's just two examples there of some of the reasons we are driven to get along. We come together as people with different backgrounds, different training, different ideas, different gifts, different personalities. It goes on and on. But we share a belief and a desire to obey God and the hope of salvation which comes from Him. Although we are so different individually, we strive and sometimes struggle for unity, for that shared belief that we have. People of the world don't normally understand that. They do not normally work toward unity. And in fact, are encouraged more and more today to seek out individuality and to seek out what they want as individuals, not worrying about anybody else, including their own families. That can wear on you. So why is all this important to understand? Why am I taking your time tonight? Because all this takes a toll on us. And if you don't think it does, well, then you might be the most in danger. Because it has the potential to wear us down. It'll weaken our spiritual immune system, if there is such a thing. Just like the first aid, the lack of first aid could weaken our biological system. Our lack of looking at this and understanding that we're challenged and that we're being worn down. If you don't look at that, you can actually be weak and not even realize it and continue to struggle, continue to get worse. That feeling of being overwhelmed can bring stress. Maybe I'm the only one in here that's ever felt stress. I don't know. But there's times where it's very heavy. And you know, I tell my daughters this. I'm sure some of you other parents have used it. But I've told them, you know, it's not fun being the bad guy all the time. You know, all day at work, I'm the bad guy. I'm having to tell people things that they don't want to hear. I'm having to stop people from doing things that they want to do. And then when I come home, it would be very easy to just take off the dad hat, take off the husband hat, and just let things go. That would be so easy. I'm relaxed even just thinking about it. But the fact is, we can't. We don't get that. Looking back at the first aid and emotional first aid, you know, the correct handling of it allows us to continue on. It allows us to continue to do and be effective in everything that we're supposed to be doing. You might still have scars from it, but you're able to move on. We tell police officers in critical incident stress management that you're going to have scars. You're going to have emotional scars. You might have physical scars, but you're definitely going to have emotional scars. But that's okay. It'll remind you of what happened. It'll remind you why you're stronger. Same thing as Christians. We have scars. But we should wear them like a shield. Because they actually, if we use them properly, if we use them as reminders, they will protect us. They'll keep us focused. But waiting too long or denying that we're under pressure will just allow the infection to spread. Are we any good at all to ourselves if we're not whole? Tell police officers, you want to be a warrior, you want to be effective every day, well then get this taken care of. Because if you don't, you're going to be useless someday. That's why officers over the generations have turned to alcohol and leaving their families and just all kinds of things. The list goes on and on of terrible ways of dealing with stress, because they didn't just look at it as, okay, I can fix this and move on. I can put a bandage on it, I can treat it, stop the infection and move on and be stronger because of it. We can't afford to move on unless we're ready. We can't afford to move on unless we are treating ourselves. Because we're no good. Who are we going to be influencing? What chances will we miss to spread God's word? What loved ones around us will we not have the right effect on? Now, I already talked to Doug because I'm eating up your time. So I'm going to be ending here shortly, but I had already talked to Doug about the fact that I just would not have time to talk about what all you can do. So I'm just going to touch on it real quick, and he's going to do a better lesson down the road. But a couple things you can do. How about you start by looking in the mirror? I want to get at least one laugh out of that. Thank you. Look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. Realize, hey, I am feeling the weight of being a Christian. I'm feeling the weight of being the example that I'm supposed to be, trying to keep myself in line every day, trying to be a good influence on those around us. How about you get on your knees? Because where do you get strength? Very simple. You get it from God. Open your Bible. How else are you going to know how to handle things? How else are you going to be encouraged to be strong? Look at God's Word. He tells us how. He gives us hundreds of examples how. If you're not opening your Bible, you're not going to know it. And a final point, there could be more, but a final one I'll give you here is get focused on working for God. I have a compass up there because I couldn't think of another picture that would be relevant. But so think about getting your compass course. Figure out where you're supposed to be going, what you're supposed to be doing for God. Get focused on that. It's amazing how you can overcome stress, overcome challenges in life by getting focused. And I would like to just close with a verse. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows you very well. One of the things I didn't mention in that list and what you can do is talk to your family here. Get help from the elders, help from others. That's what we're here for. We all have our own first aid kits. So go for help. Somebody can help you. And here during the invitation is an opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet. Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown, yet you shall wear a glorious crown when he makes up his own. Only a step, only a step, come for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gates, loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry to Jesus, I come to thee. Only a step, only a step, come for he bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior yet, Jesus the crucified.